I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Does your fruit taste as good as it looks? Does it? Convicting question. Does it taste as good as it looks? Is it the real deal? Because God does not care about appearances. He is all about substance. Since, as we all know, looks can be deceiving, right? I mean, just consider the manganeal. You ever seen a manganeal before?
Nope.
Count yourself lucky. Because by all accounts, the appearance is that of a juicy, delicious apple, right? It just looks like a Granny Smith. Isn't that great? And as a matter of fact, if you pull one off a tree and you take a bite out of it, the first bite is delightfully sweet. So say the few people who've survived eating one. Because within minutes of eating it, the manganeal causes intense throat swelling and mouth blistering and severe digestive issues. And I know what you're thinking, that sounds great, but there's more. Just touching its leaves or the sap on the tree can cause skin lesions. And so then I know what you're thinking. Let's burn them all down. Stop. Don't do it. Because if you burn the tree, it creates a smoke that can cause temporary blindness. Good job, Lord. Like, what are we doing with this thing? And so this is why the local populations who live around it simply refer to it as the death apple. The death apple. This is a real picture. Caution, the fruits of this manganeal tree are poisonous. Do not stand beneath the tree when it's raining. You can't even get close to it. Bad news, right? Okay, so that's just a public service announcement. Don't eat those things. One of these a day does not keep the doctor away. It brings them to your house. But the thing is this, everything about the manganeal screams apple. Except for the whole it might kill you thing, right? Which just goes to show the point that we want to make here today. It is deadly important to discern the real deal. You got to be able to tell your real apples from your killer apples. And to separate these fatal fruits from the valuable variety, we need to discern the subtle differences below the surface. What are the things that make it, you know, the evil thing that it is? So that we can catch the counterfeit before it does damage. And that same, we're talking about this because that same quality control applies to our spiritual fruit. Because there's lots of spiritual manganeals out there. The fatal fakes are only found out when we look inside, just like the death apple. Since, as we all know about ourselves, being superficial is super easy, right? We practice. That's what social media is all about. And so even if it isn't entirely intentional, we can wind up living a life that looks sweet, but leads to death. Like Paul says in one of the most convicting, scary scriptures, Paul says, "My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent." So be very careful then how you live your life, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, aka be filled with the Spirit. That's wise living, since that's the seed that we need to produce that good fruit, because each tree is recognized by its own fruit, which means a good man brings good things out of the good that is stored up in his heart. You know, and on the other side, an evil man brings evil things out of the evil that's stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, right? So if that heart is full of the Spirit, those spiritual seeds being filled with the Spirit, well, then the fruit of the Spirit that should be coming out of your mouth is love, joy, say them with me, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? We know them really. I mean, don't just say them, think about them this morning. And as you're thinking about them, think about this. There's another whole crop. There's a whole other crop of fruit because you're growing something. And this crop is called the fruit of the flesh. And that is not the good stuff. These are the death apples. This is pride and greed and lust and envy and gluttony and anger and laziness. And here's the crazy part. They're just like that manganeal. The crazy part is they can appear identical to the good stuff, to the spiritual fruit. But these bad apples can kill you as they fill you. So, going into this next year, right, before aiming for the new you that we want to produce in this new year, we're going to take this morning and we're going to just take a quick close look at the subtle differences between the juicy fruit of the spirit and the fatal fruit of flesh, so that all of us can learn to spot the rotten stuff before it affects the heart of our whole tree. Because we've got to make sure we're getting the right stuff in there so that we're growing the right stuff. And, well, that's because, as we're told, there is a way that appears to be right. Right? There's a way that appears, it looks like it's right. But in the end, it leads to death. And that's because the heart, the human heart, is deceitful above all things. And it's beyond cure. So, above all else, guard your heart. For everything that you do flows from it, right? Which is what we know. That's where the stuff grows. That's where it comes. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take a look fruit by fruit. Here we go. So first off, let me ask you this. How is the crop of faithfulness and self-control that you've been cultivating? Doing real good?
Nope.
And a hush falls over the crowd. That's right. Faithfulness and self-control. We're going to be honest about it because if they're not pointed in the right direction, you might be mistakenly growing poisonous pride, you know, and you can think that it's faithfulness or self-control, but it can actually be pride. And the process of detecting the difference, which is the hard part that we're trying to do, it can hurt almost as much as eating poison produce, which is exactly what the rich young ruler learned in the story that we all know. When he asked Jesus, he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then Jesus answered him saying, "You know the commandments." And then the ruler said, "Great, yeah, all these I have kept since I was a boy. So are we good, you know?" And Jesus said, "Well, there's one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then come, follow me." And he goes away all, you know, upset about it and everything. I'm like, okay, why is that? Well, here's why. You know it. In this little exchange, Jesus exposes the root of this fruit by asking the convicting question. Are you focused on rules or relationships? You know, the appearance of the good or actually doing the good, the rules and the relationships, because only real relationships can reveal if you have the real seeds of the spiritual fruit in your heart, since real faithfulness is focused on others and not ourselves. Okay, that's how you can tell, you know, if it's focused on yourself, that's a death apple. In fact, though, and we all know this, some of us are these people, many people use rules to fake the personal appearance of both self-control and faithfulness so they can hide the self-serving and very poisonous pride that is just beneath the surface. Because using self-control to serve and trust and follow others is called faithfulness, right? That is correct. However, aiming the exact same serving and trusting and following at ourselves is called pride. So it's the same acts, but they're just pointed in different directions. And then one's a death apple, one's the good stuff. So to keep your faith pride-free, all you got to do is make sure that you are focused on the other side of every one of your relationships, not yours. Because the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Get it? It's faith through love. It's, you know, without that, it's dead. That's it. So that's how you were going to tell those apart and make sure that you're doing it. Okay, number two. How about your goodness? You growing some good goodness? Are you sure that's what you got growing? Because here's the way we're going to check on this one. Let me ask you this question. When does good stop being good? Well, it's when it overwhelms you because we overdo it. We do this all the time. We're human beings. This is something that we're all very familiar with. Because as the expression goes, too much of a good thing can be a bad thing, right? Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. Just ask anybody who, like me, has an addictive personality. And they will tell you that the very best stuff in their life is actually the most dangerous stuff in their life, because each taste of something good may actually be a seed of greed. It's why I have to be super careful around video games and fantasy football and playing the stock market, because I have a problem. If something's good, if something is just like a little good and I'm like, ooh, this is good, then my flesh says, well, if a little is good, then all of it, all the time, must be great. Let's do nothing else but this video game. And I'm like, that's not right. That's when it goes bad. That's the greed. And even the most godly pursuits can become poisonous fruits if we focus on accumulating over appreciating, which is just like we're warned in Proverbs. This is, some scriptures are so condescending. They feel so bad, but you're like, I get it, Lord. You're 100% right. But it says, if you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you'll vomit. Stupid, you know? It's like, I know, I'm not six. And the Lord's like, are you sure? You kind of act like a six-year-old. I'm like, okay, no, fair enough. It's true. Too much and you'll vomit. So if you want to keep your goodness good and you want to keep it growing without the threat of greed's false fruit, just remember, our heart must be set on professing good over possessing good, right? You just got to say it, share it. You know, it's out there, but it is not how much good you have. And that means that you should be praying this very tough prayer that nobody wants to pray, but it's a great prayer to keep you your heart in the right place and grow on the right fruit. You should pray, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I know me, right? Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord anyway? You know, don't need him. That's our heart. So that's a good prayer. Keep it right in there. Don't give me too much. And then in the same vein, we need to take a real close look at the spiritual fruit of love to make sure that it is not the deadly fleshly fruit of lust in disguise. And this one we're all familiar with. After all, they're close, right? They're hard to tell apart. These look like two tasty apples because on the surface, they're both just words for our feelings of desire. You know, something that we want. But the deadly difference can be seen by the appetite that each fruit tries to satisfy, right? They're both just like these desires, but one of them not so good. And since lust is a worldly desire, it can only satisfy worldly appetites with worldly things, which always come back to keep us in a cycle of insatiable hunger. We just did Christmas, right? Did anybody have a big Christmas dinner with like lots of delicious desserts? No. What kind of a church is this? We did too. I get it. You're like, I would raise my hand, but it hurts. I'm still full. But you have those moments where you eat so much and you're sitting there and you're watching football and you're like, I'll never eat again. And then like 6 hours later, you're like, where'd that turkey go? You're like, I just need it again. That's it down here. You can feed a hunger and it just comes back. That's lust. That is the stuff that's, I just want worldly things and it just keeps coming back. However, different kind of hunger, love. Love feeds a higher spiritual desire to satisfy our spiritual appetite for the perfection that puts an end to all earthly appetites. It's that one meal and you just never want to eat again. It's that one, you know, it's that drink of water that you never thirst again. Another way to say this is this. Lust offers temporary gratification, but love provides permanent edification. It just changes you. It completes you and it makes you somebody who doesn't need to eat again. And that love, that true love, only comes from God and through God, because God is love. For everything in the world, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. But remember, the world and its desires all pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. And his will is our love. We know that. That's what we're here to do, is to learn to love and love each other and love him. And that's it, right? It sums up all the commands. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him and love each other, because that's how we love him. So make sure you're doing it. Check that fruit. And then there's the fruit of kindness. Oh, the fruit of kindness. It's so close to love, right? It grows right in the same part of the garden as love. And it's so close to sincere love because it aims to build up all our brothers and sisters with encouragement and compassion, right? That's kindness, is a kind word, being kind. Like Paul says, Paul asks, he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having that same love and being one in spirit, right? There's that spiritual fruit of love right there. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but to the interests of others. All right? That's kindness, and that's great, and that's 100% true. However, kindness is expressed in humility, but the more we elevate others, the more we may accidentally produce the fleshly fruit of envy. You know, it can start off in the right, you know, you're so great. No, you're doing awesome. You're fantastic. No, you're really good. You're incredible. You're better than me. I don't like it. You know, that's when it starts to turn into envy. Because the truth is, there's a very thin line between building up and putting on a pedestal. And every kind word can become an act of envy if we forget that all humans are imperfect. You know, none of us are great. All of us are imperfect, and our only real value comes as being kids of the King. That's just what we share. We're all in this together. We're all a hot mess together. You know, we all fall short. So be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Right? Just remember, that's the truth. It's like, we're not that great. We got it the same way that we need to give it. Because that right there is that's the unified equality that leads to the spiritual joy that Paul references. When he says, make my joy complete, be a hot mess together, all of you in the spirit, loving each other. You know, that's the joy. That's the joy that he's talking about that we need to have. So the question is, joy is one of them. You know, is that the kind of joy that your life is producing? Are you having that? Oh, it's so good, this unity, all of us one in the Spirit, because joy is meant to strengthen and uplift believers, right? As we encounter these moments, few and far between, but we encounter these moments that echo the perfect life yet to come. That's what joy is. You get a glimpse of the other side, but joy is not meant to advertise what this life has to offer. You know, if you start thinking that, if you think you have a moment of joy, you're like, oh, this place isn't so bad. What else can I get from here? If you have that thought grows into gluttony. For the perfect kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, right? It's not all prime rib and tasty stuff, right? It's not eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, that joy that we're talking about, that sensation. And I tell you, we all know this one, you know, inherently as well. You ever notice how hard everybody on earth works to find joy? And yet at the same time, how seldom they actually get it. You know, it's everything that we do all the time is for something, to get that taste, something joyful, and we just can't seem to hold on to it for more than a split second. Well, that is because true joy is a spiritual import from the spiritual realm. That's where you get it. So there's not a lot of it down here. And when we try to equate it with an earthly experience, we perceive it as pleasure. And then we start to treat it as a commodity. We start to say, oh, this thing was great. Now, if I can just make the earth do it more. No, you can't. It's not from here. And we start to just think, like, I just need more of that same thing. I need more and more and more. But excessive pursuit of earthly pleasure is the poison that we call gluttony. And as much as we try to deny it, and we sure do, we pretend that we don't, that it's, hey, it's good for you, it's okay, you know, a little hedonism never hurt anybody. Yes, it did. It killed people. As much as we try to deny it, all of human history has proven that earthly indulgence only leads to ruin. right? Just if you find something good and you just keep chasing it down, it just doesn't pan out well. And that's because true joy, real spiritual joy, is just a taste of true life. And until we learn to enjoy the encouragement of anticipation, you know, of waiting for that, of seeing that those moments of joy are just those little harbingers, those little tastes of what's coming up, and that that should bring joy into our anticipation. While we don't have it and say, that's great, I can't wait for it. Until we can learn to have joy in that anticipation, gluttony will grow as an obsessive pursuit of the earthly pleasures. And that's no good. That is a death apple if ever I heard one. And then there's the spiritual fruit of peace, right? Who feels like they have peace? You got some spiritual peace? Good for you. This one's hard. This one's tricky. Because this one is very strange. Peace is frequently confused with the flesh's fatal fruit of anger. And that just seems absolutely insane because they seem like they should be polar opposites. But just like the old death apple, we just can't see the difference on the surface. And that's extra embarrassing since our world calls this a peacemaker. It seems like we know what the problem is here. You know, it's like, how do you make peace with one of these, you know? You don't think that there's maybe a conflict in your, you know, motivations there? No, trust me, after I use this, everybody's in agreement, you know. Doesn't count as peace, I don't think, the way that you think. But down here, we think peace means identifying and eliminating the opposition. Yeah, you know, that's one way to do it, but there's only one person left at the end of that, right? It's not all about identifying and eliminating opposition. It's about bringing them on board. And as we know, everyone should be quick to listen and then slow to speak and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. He has to spell that out for us, you know, which is something that we all do need to hear. Human anger does not produce the righteousness. We could say, hey, this is, righteous indignation. That's why I'm so upset about this. I'm upset on God's behalf. And he says, no, thank you. No, thank you. He's got it under control. Angry acts of opposition only produce true peace when they promote God's perfect plan. But since we don't have that perfect perspective, our anger usually causes more harm than harmony. You know, if God gets angry, it's for everybody's good, and it sorts things out and it makes things better. That's not so much us. So if you find yourself frequently raising your voice in an effort to produce spiritual peace, listen to me, you know, I'm right, everybody, let's have peace. Doesn't usually work out that way. Stop and ask yourself if your approach really brought understanding and reconciliation and unity to everyone in the room. You know, really stop and look at that, because we'll get all righteous and upset about stuff, but really stop and say, is there a better way I could have handled that? You know, because that's the only way that you can be sure that we followed our command to be completely humble and gentle. And to be patient, bearing with one another in love. There's that love again. Because that right there, that's how we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It's all the same stuff. This is the same. If we're sharing in that fruit, we're doing it together. It's that bond of peace that keeps us all together. And human anger may not be a spiritual fruit that grows alongside peace, the peace that we want to produce, but both human gentleness and human patience are. These are human experiences that are spiritual fruits, gentleness and patience. Yet, even these easygoing fruits are easy to confuse with the flesh's sinful fruit called laziness. Does anybody here struggle with laziness? Are many of you too lazy to get your hand up in the air? I can see you going, I'd do it, but I'm tired. I told you. It's Christmas, I blame it on. Yeah. It's laziness. Lord knows I struggle with it. Because just like we just read in that last scripture, gentleness and patience are meant to foster unity, not excuse us from getting involved. But a lot of us use it that way, patience or gentleness. You know, it's like, well, I don't want to be too abrasive, so I'll just back out of this. Or, you know, patience, it's just not the right time. We'll deal with it later. No, no, no. That's not what gentleness and patience is. That's being lazy. Both of these spiritual fruits are actually aimed at being actively engaging. You know, but just focused on recognizing God's timing to have the maximum impact that he intended. Gentleness and patience are just meant to help you engage, not to stop you from engaging. It is only the fleshly fruit of laziness that avoids responsibility. And it does it very cleverly by projecting patience, you know, faking, pretending like it's patience, projecting patience over its complacency. And gentleness over its lethargy, you know, saying, I'm not being lazy, I'm just being considerate. I'm just waiting, I'm biding my time. So if you want to make sure that you are, this next year, growing that real gentleness and that real patience, well, then take a look at the people in your life. These are the people that God put you around and put around you. Right, take a look at these people and then ask yourself how often you're really involved in their life. Because all spiritual fruits require relationships to grow. Right? That's the fertilizer. You're the fertilizer for each other. What a message. You're a bunch of fertilizer for each other's spiritual fruit. But that's how we grow, and that's in our heart. We have to flex that heart by being around each other. Only the fruits of flesh are the ones that can grow alone without people around. You can grow those in a basement by yourself. You can have plenty of like envy and greed and stuff down in a basement by yourself, but you can't grow love. You know, you got to be out there. So really, at the end of the day, what I'm telling you is this. Get out there. Get out there. Get around people. Because if we're growing these spiritual fruits, you should know the spirit that God gave us does not make us timid. Okay, it does not make us timid to sit in that basement, but it gives us power and love and self-discipline to get out there and go love on people. Do it the right way. Because at the end of the day, the message is use it or lose it, right? Use it or lose it. Because if that spirit, the Holy Spirit, the right spirit is producing the real spiritual fruit, if that spirit is growing in your heart, you should experience actively in your life, an abundance of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's how you know. That's why we get these fruit of the Spirit. You can see them. Just make sure you got the right ones. And if not, if you're not experiencing them, if you're not out there having that active experience, well, then you're just going to live a life with more and more pride and greed and lust, and envy, and gluttony, and anger, and laziness. Because living this life means growing fruit. It just happens by what we do. You can't not grow fruit. And so we are called to grow the good fruit. Fruit of the Spirit that lasts. So before I let you go, just remember this. Here's what I want you to just take away. Remember, sinful fruit survives by disguising itself as spiritual. But counterfeits are easily exposed when we just take the time to look beneath the surface by examining the true impact of our actions and in our relationships. And I don't know about you, but I would sure like to know what I got growing in my heart before it's time for that big old taste test that reveals whether we've grown a tree of life or death. Amen? Amen. Let's pray about it. Father God, we love you and we desire to be like you as we live each day to grow your spirit in our lives. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to see past the superficial and false fruits of our flesh to focus on your edifying and eternal fruit. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for living and dying as one of us to give all of us a look at sin's painful penalty and a taste of the Spirit's supreme satisfaction. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.